20 years ago, a Harvard-trained brain scientist named Jill Bolte Taylor had a traumatic experience that nearly took her life. At the age of 37, she suffered a massive stroke in the left hemisphere of her brain. And within 4 hours, she was unable to walk, talk, read, write, or recall any of her life. Because she was a brain scientist, she was actually more fascinated than alarmed by what was happening to her. But thankfully, she had survival instinct in her, and that allowed her to take the necessary steps to get help. Well, later she wrote about this experience and the profound effect that it had had on her. And she said that when her intellectual left brain was not functioning, her unfettered right brain introduced her to a whole new reality, that she experienced profound peace and compassion, that she had a palpable sense of oneness with everything around her. In her wonderful best-selling book, My Stroke of Insight, clever, she says this: "In this shifted perception, I was not capable of experiencing separation or individuality. Instead, the energy of everything blended together. I was consciously alert, and my perception was that I was in the flow. Everything in my visual world blended together, and with every pixel radiating energy, we all flowed in mass together as one." It's an amazing image, isn't it? And she says that when she was in that state of being, she says she was in her divine right mind. Both literally and figuratively, she was in her right mind. And she says that it opened the door for her to be in a completely different world. So we might say that Jill Bolte Taylor was in an altered state of being during that episode. Or we might say that she was in the truest sense of being. After reading that book, of hers, I found myself pondering the question that many of us at the postmodern level of awareness love to ask, which is, what is reality? Now, we think that reality is what our unified brain presents to us. But the book made me think, what if our right brain is really seeing things as they are? This amazing oneness where all really is flowing together. And our left brain is serving the purpose of breaking it down into individuation and individuality so that we can function from our ego self in this world. What if the spiritual oneness that we speak about is a factual, physical reality? Well, you know, most of us intuitively have a sense of a higher reality beyond our everyday awareness. Now, few, if any, of us have had to go through what Jill Bolte Taylor went through, but nevertheless, at various times in our lives, we get a glimpse of that other reality that she refers to. Perhaps in a time of prayer or worship or meditation, we feel that connection with something higher. It may happen during a time of heightened awareness out in nature or with our loved ones. Perhaps during a hobby or a favorite activity, and I'm sure you've experienced this, when you lose all sense of time or place or even yourself. I've experienced that before in my life, and one episode in particular stands out. It was several years ago. I was riding my horse through the woods on a fall day in Missouri. And one minute I was noticing the sun streaming through the trees and the leaves. I was looking around at how beautiful the forest was, feeling the warmth of the horse beneath me, hearing the clip-clop of his hooves on the ground. And the next moment it was as if I disappeared. And I really didn't even know that I had disappeared until minutes later when I realized I had been gone for a while. Thankfully, I didn't fall off the horse. But I realized then that I had really merged into this sense of oneness. What a precious thing. So in Integral Christianity, author Paul Smith calls this zone of awareness, he calls it the spirit zone. Well, you may know it by other terms, perhaps elevated awareness or divine experience, transcendent awareness, a peak spiritual experience, perhaps mysticism, or simply being in the flow. But whatever name we use for this, I believe that this is the level of awareness and consciousness that Jesus was calling us into. He wanted us to experience this greater perspective. And we know as we read about him that he made it clear that we didn't need to add anything. We didn't need to gain anything in order to have this perspective. That truly it was already within us. We just needed to wake up and pay attention. We needed to get off of our autopilot. So there's a great story in Luke chapter 10 that talks about, gives an example of getting off of this autopilot mode of awareness. It's the story of Mary and Martha. So as the story goes, Jesus goes over to Martha's home one day to visit her, and on that same day, Martha's sister Mary comes to visit also. And so there they are in Martha's home, and while they're there, Mary sits attentively at the feet of Jesus, absorbing every pearl of wisdom coming from him. Well, meanwhile, Martha is bustling around, being the hostess, taking care of business, doing what needs to be done. And she realizes that she's doing everything. She starts feeling a little exasperated about that, so she asks Jesus to please tell her sister Mary to help her out. But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he turns to Martha, and he says, "You are worried and distracted." And essentially says, "You're missing the opportunity for us to be together, for us to connect." He says, "Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her." In other words, Mary is fully present. We are making the most of this now moment and connecting. And so we can see in this great story the different levels of consciousness, the different levels of awareness represented by each of the individuals. So Martha is the level of ordinary, everyday awareness, our to-do list, if you will, the physical reality of living our lives. Mary is a level of connected awareness, connecting awareness. It's a more spiritual focus. She is tuned in, she is present, she's aware, and receptive. And then we have Jesus, simply a
divine awareness. Jesus is at the level of divine awareness in that state of oneness with God, just being it. And so when we look at our day-to-day lives, most of the time we're in that ordinary, everyday awareness. We have places to go, people to see, things to do, blah, blah, blah. Busy minds, busy, busy, busy. And then every once in a while, we take a little bit of time to be in the quiet, to turn within, to reach in, to connect inside with something greater than ourselves. And then we're in the Mary consciousness then. And as we cultivate that sense of being, that consciousness, that awareness of something greater than ourselves, we may eventually merge with it. We are one with it. It is us. It is shining forth as the presence of who we truly are. And this is the state that Jesus was in when he said, "The Father and I are one." You know, in traditional Christianity, they teach that only Jesus and the Father were one. But that's not what Jesus taught. You know, Jesus wanted us to know our own innate divine power. And we see this most obviously in the way that he healed. So notice that when Jesus was with someone who needed a healing, he did not say, well, let's beg God and hope for the best. Let's hope we get lucky. He didn't say, well, come to me, I'll wave a magic wand and I'll heal you, I got this covered. He didn't do either of those things. Instead, he turned the person's attention to the power that was in them. He wanted them to realize their own innate ability to heal. And so he essentially said, know the higher truth, step out in faith, and it will quicken this divine presence in you so that you have the desired breakthrough. And so he would say it in the most direct and powerful way. Pick up your mat and walk. Your faith has made you well. If you have faith even the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. This power is within you. This is what he was pointing his followers to, and it's what he points us to today. In the book Integral Christianity, Paul Smith has a wonderful graphic that he uses to explain this difference, and we see it as a difference between what traditional Christianity teaches and more what we teach in unity, and also the direction we're going with what we call integral consciousness, also mystical consciousness. And so the traditional idea is that God is up in the sky, God is out there, if you will. The person praying is begging or asking God to send down a favor. The person being prayed for is very humbled and hoping that that God will see them favorably, that God's good graces will play out for their highest good. But God is outside and separate. In the second graphic there, we see that, yes, God is everywhere present, and that means God is present in us as well. God is present in the person who is praying, who, as they go into prayer, they begin to activate that presence within them so that they can affirm and shine that light out to the person in need. And in so doing, as Jesus did, they quicken that awareness inside the person themselves of the God within them. And we could even take out the person praying and just have the person being prayed for as praying for their own well-being and praying from that centeredness in the divine. So Paul Smith has a great way of summing this up. He says, our refusal to embrace our divinity as Jesus did keeps us asking a God out there to do what we can do, to do for us what we can do for ourselves. This is a huge shift. It is a huge realization that can completely change our spiritual path and boost us in our evolution. You know, realizing this is really the discovery of the truth of who we are. And we can imagine that for those followers, for those that Jesus healed, it was in fact life-changing. Because it said to them, you're not a lowly, poor little dependent victim who needs something outside of you to make your life wonderful or to make your life all that it can be. You have everything within you. You have the power within you to thrive, to heal, to overcome anything. He was saying that you have this really gold mine of power within you, and all you have to do is mine it. All you must do is tap into it and allow it to come forth to express in your life. Jesus said, if you bring forth what is within you, it will save you. Well, that can be our saving grace, isn't it so? That when we find that we have more strength than we ever give ourselves credit for, we have more courage, we have more wisdom. We tap into that and allow it to flow through us and express in our lives. And we also realize as we take this in, something incredibly powerful, that we are the creators of our own lives. It wasn't just handed to us. The things that we are experiencing now, the thoughts, the feelings we're having, are a product of our choices.
And we always have the option to continue to choose as we have, to do what we've always done and get what we've always gotten. Or we can make a different choice. We can step out in faith. We can answer the call of our hearts, the call of spirit, to more fully express Christ's consciousness in us. This power of choice is everything. So we emphasize it so much in Unity, and it actually was one of the great lessons, the greatest lessons that Jill Bolte Taylor learned from her experience when her stroke occurred and she was in this other reality. And then when she came back from it, she says, "Since the hemorrhage, my eyes have been opened to how much choice I actually have about what goes on between my ears." Listen to this. "There has been nothing more empowering than the realization that I don't have to think thoughts that bring me pain. My stroke of insight would be, peace is only a thought away, and all we have to do to access it is to silence the voice of our dominating mind." Silence the chatter of the mind. Sound familiar? Whenever we turn within in prayer and meditation, when we create a focal point, a mantra, focus on our breath, we are indeed quieting that chattering voice in us. And what do we find? That a whole new world opens up. And suddenly we are in that spirit zone. We're feeling that great peace and compassion. Didn't have to add anything. We just needed to quiet something. Many ways to do that: walking in nature, engaging in a favorite hobby or activity, whatever it might be, even just quiet reflection. I have people have trouble with meditation sometimes. Just sit quietly. Just honestly, just be present. Just look around. Just notice what a beautiful world this is. When we do this, we are consciously moving ourselves from the ordinary awareness to the spiritual awareness, and yes, even divine awareness. And I believe that this is what Jesus most fervently wanted for each and every one of us. He wanted us to know our own power. He wanted us to know that we are safe and provided for, and that all is well. That all is well. And he wanted us to feel the love of the universe in every cell of our being. And so as we follow our way shower into the spirit zone, into divine awareness, into Christ consciousness, we say we choose this path to express the divinity in us. And we know that following that path brings us greater joy, greater satisfaction, greater fulfillment, and even more. It is the highest respect, the highest honor that we can do to our way shower to allow this beautiful Christ presence to shine through us. Let's prepare now for our meditation. I invite you to take a deep breath in and then release and let go. Just shake off whatever is going on in your life, in your world, in your mind. Just let it all go and relax. Breathe in and let go. Allow yourself to sink into your seat. If there are any tight places or any points of pain in your body, just breathe peace and love into those places. Feel yourself going a little bit deeper, deeper into your heart. Letting go, letting go. yourself to feel spirit in your own heart. The presence of God, your source of strength, wisdom, courage, clarity, faith. Let this be a connecting time as you are open, receptive, and present to whatever message is yours to receive from Spirit. In the silence. With hearts filled with gratitude, we appreciate the truth that we are loved, we are safe, we are provided for, and all is well. On this day, we particularly allow ourselves to be in that spirit awareness as we look around at the others in our world, as we look around at this beautiful day, and appreciate the greater presence, the greater reality that unfolds us all. And we say thank you from deep in our hearts. Thank you, sweet spirit, and so it is.